That doesn't mean we didn't report things connected with science. New Zealand had 3 active volcanoes, an economy built on forestry, animal husbandry, and grassland management. God, that sounds boring. And earthquakes so frequent that it was the most junior reporter's job every night to change the paper on the office seismometer after you'd need to collect the weather map. I started newspapers in 1957, so that was the year of Sputnik 1. It flew over New Zealand, I think, within a day and a half of its launch. It was the year that a New Zealand research team was involved in the crossing of Antarctica during the International Geophysical Year. So in that sense, you couldn't keep science out of the paper, but it wasn't something you got into journalism to do. Well, things have changed. I won't give it a hell of a change, but I can remember the moment that I realised that something amazing was going on, something too good not to turn into a story. To be a young reporter in the 60s was, of course, to be in heaven. This was the decade of Yuri Gagarin, the Beatles, Bob Dylan, the sexual revolution, the abolition of the Lord Chamberlain's Office of Censorship, because all playwrights had to submit their scripts to the Lord Chamberlain, who would then say, no, take out those rude words. The publication of Lady Chatterley's Lover, the Christine Keeler affair, the great train robbery, of course the Iron Curtain, Vietnam, the first heart transplant, Telstar, and the assassinations of John, Bobby, Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, the civil rights marches in the American South, and the drama of the race to the moon. So it was a wonderful time to be a journalist. But funnily enough, although we reported these things, and they all involved science in one way or another, including, of course, the sudden realisation that you could get pictures across the Atlantic within minutes instead of having to actually go and meet a plane to Heathrow and then run like hell to a developing office. All of these things were brought to us by science. We weren't that aware of it. Science at the time had a bad rap. And it wasn't until the early 70s that I realised that we were missing something, that we were actually missing some great stories. And one of the great stories was cosmology. In the early 60s, if you actually asked a cosmologist, if you could find a cosmologist, if you could find someone who admitted to being a cosmologist, because the joke in physics was that there was physics, and then there was speculation, and then there was wild speculation, and then there was cosmology. If you asked a cosmologist whether the universe had a beginning or whether it had been there forever, his answer, although he might have opinions, essentially was, search me, Gov. You know, how would I know? By 1965, there was an answer. Space, time, matter, light, stars, planets, and comets all had a beginning in one instant of creation. And that nothing that we saw was more than 20 billion years old. The other great discovery of almost the same year involved the planet we stood on. In the early 60s, it was merely an interesting observation that the outline of Latin America fitted into the shape of West Africa. And an airline found that phenomenon in an advert by showing to us how wonderfully the world had closed because of the jet revolution. This was the era of jet flight. They cut it out and moved it together, and then produced an advert that said, introducing the Atlantic River, it only takes 6 hours to cross. Because those of you who are connoisseurs of James Bond will know that James Bond got off the plane at Shannon Airport in Ireland to have dinner, and then got back on it again, and then got off at Gander in Newfoundland for breakfast. That was a flight to New York. You had to do it in stages. Nobody knew how to fly to New York from London in 1957. And by 1965, of course, it was an old event. So extraordinary things have happened.